SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, hey, we're down to the Motorsports Show. SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ. Longest running motorsports show in San Diego, I might add. Right here at Salem Communications. And we want to thank them for all their support. Also, I want to thank El Cajon Ford, 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon, where absolutely nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Need a new car, used car, doesn't make any difference. You need to check out El Cajon Ford. Got a Ford, and you service it at El Cajon Ford, and you want to service your Chevy or your Toyota or your Mazda, you can do that too. Factory-trained technicians, one-stop shop, the family store, El Cajon Ford. Hey, I've got a really long interview with my good buddy Tommy Kendall. He is involved in a program where they're celebrating 50 years of Trans Am. So it's a long one, so sit back and take a listen. All right. Hey, folks, I've got Tommy Kendall on the line, commonly known as TK, and he's got himself wrapped up in Watkins Glen and a little Trans Am racing. How you doing, bud?
No complaints, man. All good. All good. I'm a little worried about my condominium down in Florida, which is right in the path of Hurricane Matthew, but that's out of my hands, so I'll just wait and see, see what the aftermath brings.
Well, that's what they have insurance for, right?
That's right.
At least you're not down there. That's really the most important thing, because, I mean, people are still hanging out down there, and I think that's totally ridiculous. You need to pack your gear and get out of Dodge and go back and look at it this way. You can have a new garage or something.
I'm all for being brave when it is something. But like in racing, you gotta know the risk reward. And as far as I see, there's no reward there.
You don't give
me bonus points for being brave in that situation. Yeah. So get the hell out of Dodge.
Thank you very much. You know, since I got you online, and I know you knew him quite well, but I guess you heard about Brock Yates passing away.
I did. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I knew he was, ailing and so forth, but I was surprised how much it bummed me out. And then reading a lot of people's comments online, I think he had kind of an outsized influence on people in the car world. You know, he was just one of those guys that had a lot of charisma and authenticity, I think. I think, people were drawn to him. And so, he called a lot of my early races on with Steve Evans on the American Sports Cavalcade.
Yep.
And I remember, when I was early days, you'd race and then you'd rush home and you'd watch the race on TV and he just, both he and Steve together, Steve obviously died at a young age. So, it was, it's, I guess, part of the deal. Like they say, life, no one gets out alive. But, it's still not easy when it happens.
And it's funny, I've just finished reading Porsche by Adler, and it was a history of the 356. And, of course, it talks about all the racing and how, that started, and then he passed away. And that all kind of, it's all that era, the 50s and really the 60s. I mean, that's where I grew up. And that's when racing was racing, and there wasn't a lot of advertisers, dictating what you did and who drove what. And, it was tough getting a ride. But, I just love reading about the history of motorsports. I mean, it's, back in the day when you'd get in a Ferrari and you would drive it to the racetrack, and that's how you broke it in and got it all running. I mean, no heat, no, none of that stuff. Those were the days.
Well, that's part of what this event
at
the International Motor Racing Research Center is all about, is, it's going to touch on the two kind of golden eras of Trans Am, late 60s, early 70s, and then late 80s and through the 90s. So, there's certain periods and eras in any endeavor that really resonate. I mean, there's a natural tendency towards nostalgia,
Sure.
With Arnold Palmer passing away, you think, oh, man, those were the best days. And so I think it just goes to show you don't fully appreciate stuff while it's happening. And so, we're in the middle of some of them right now, but those were definitely, in hindsight, it was easy to see those two eras were special. And so, I was lucky to be, I took part in two kind of golden eras. One was the Trans Am through the 80s and 90s, and then that era of GTP when the cars were kind of like the Can-Am of the 70s. I was lucky to take part in kind of the modern-day versions of those two things.
And those, to me, those are my favorite years. I mean, maybe because I was young, I don't know. But, you know, always wanted to be a race car driver. You know, I even joined the Army so I could, you know, go to Germany and buy a Lotus Super 7 and build it in the auto shop so I could, because Britain, the only place that had race, you know, driving schools. Of course, they sent me to Korea, but that's another story. So, the panel you've got, Chuck Cantwell, John Woody Woodward, Lee Dykstra, Don Cox, and Butch Leitzinger, and Amy Ruman. My God, talk about the who's who at Trans Am.
Yeah, you know, it's and whenever you get a bunch together, you've got an agenda or an idea where it's going to go, but you never have any idea where it's going to go, which is the fun of it.
So, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I was young, before I could race, I would go to my dad's races with my camera, and I would take all these pictures, and it was, you know, back then it was, you know, it was film.
Yeah.
You get the film developed. So I'd come home with all these rolls of film, and my mom would pay to get them developed. You know, she was indulging my passion and so forth. And it would just be roll after roll after roll of cars. And she's like, you got to take some pictures of the people. And I'm like, oh, no, it's cars. And then, you know, as you get a little older, you realize that's part of what makes the cars come to life is the people. And so, and the drivers obviously get a disproportionate share of the attention, but, you know, through the years in every sport, you've got some real characters behind the scenes, too.
Are you kidding? Carroll Shelby comes to mind. I don't know why, but he just pops into my head. Anybody that would wear bib overalls at Le Mans to make a point, you know, that's my kind of driver.
Yeah, well, Enzo Ferrari. Mokey Unic, you know, on and on and on. Dale Inman back in the old NASCAR days, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to it. I have actually – should admit this. I have not been to the research center, so I've been wanting. It's been on my list for a while, but
it's on my bucket list.
Out of town when I go there, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I guess if people happen to be in the area, this forum will be open to the public.
Yes, it's free admission, I believe.
Yeah,
free admission.
Yeah, get there at 1 o'clock. That's at 610 South Decatur Street in Watkins Glen. I know we're in San Diego, but I mean, there are people that can listen to the show all over the world. If you happen to be in the area, I highly recommend you stop by, because you'll be hearing Trans Am stories that you probably have never heard nor read about.
Well, and for those that can't go, I'm actually looking at the website. It's www.racingarchives.org, and it's becoming, you know, a resource for racing history. And a lot of people that are, you know, getting older are donating their collections of memorabilia and records and so forth. And so whether you can make it this time or not, hopefully talking about it with you and so forth gets it on people's maps.
Right.
So when they're planning their tours through the Northeast, they can put it on their list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I do so much radio, and that's a few years back. I was doing an aviation show, and I started bringing in World War II pilots and B-17, you know, and got these guys on tape, and it was amazing because their families always came in with them, and they would always pull me aside. Almost every single family member pulled me aside and says, I heard stories today I have never heard. Ever.
Right.
I think it's the same thing. Like when you don't sit down at a cocktail party and talk Trans Am racing to people that don't understand or don't know anything about Trans Am racing, because it's not what you do. You have to be in an arena of people that know what you did and can talk the talk. I think that's the same thing with pilots and from wars gone by. And I think it's so important that we capture these guys some way, somehow, and get them on tape. If nothing else, for our kids, our grandkids, and everybody else to really understand what they went through. And Trans Am racing is exactly the same thing when you really come right down to it. Look at the first Trans Am car versus the Trans Am cars of today, or the ones that are equivalent to it. You know, they're night and day different. So I think it's important that we, you know, get guys like you and Chuck and John and Dykstra and Dot, get all these people on tape, you know, just for future references. I mean, because like you said, we don't go out of this thing alive.
Well, while we're waxing nostalgic, there's something to be learned there. I've thought of doing it just with your parents. And, you know, again, nobody thinks about it till they're gone. And so, you know, with film being literally free now, you know, just, and it's hard to do. And you always think, oh, I'll have time and all this. But just, you know, it'd be fun to sit down with a list of questions and just interview them. And then just see where it goes. And I suspect you would hear stories you'd never heard before, you know? Yeah. And then so for subsequent generations and so forth, that would be cool. But, you know, talking about Trans Am, you know, Trans Am went on hiatus for a little bit. It disappeared, and now it's come back. And not even a lot of people that like the old version aren't aware that it's back. And so, you know, some I just spoke at, they had a 50-year celebration in Detroit, and they celebrated Roush,
right,
who was kind of the king of the later era, and Penske, who was, you know, central to the former one. And one of the things that, you know, why I think modern day racing isn't as popular, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them is the cars are not as awesome relative to every day as they were then. And the example I use is when I was racing in Trans Am, you know, a fast street car, like a turbo Porsche, had 250 horsepower, 280 horsepower, and the race cars had 800.
Right.
Now, a fast street car has 800, and the street cars, the race cars, like an IMSA, have 500.
Right, exactly.
So I'm like, you wonder why people, it's still exciting, but you wonder why people just aren't blown away. And I understand part of how it got there.
Sure.
That's, you know, it's a long way of saying, Trans Am is the only place, Trans Am and NASCAR are the only two places where the cars are the most powerful today as they've ever been. NHRA too.
Correct.
And so, and it's not a surprise that those sports, when people go, they're more in awe.
Right.
I think, you know, there's something to be learned there. I get the balance of performance stuff, and I get insurance concerns, and I get all these things, but you can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't keep all those people happy and have people just come out and have their jaws, you know, just fall onto the floor.
The media needs to get behind it too. I mean, if the media loves NASCAR, then guess what? They're going to get up. I know money is behind it. It's the guy that writes the check. You know, I don't see why they have to charge.
I have a different view on that.
What's your view on that?
I mean, one of my favorite sayings is the market's never wrong. And NASCAR didn't have all the media at one point.
Right.
It got the media because it had the crowd.
Correct.
And so the crowd, and so UFC's that way, et cetera. You know, an example people hate, but the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. Everyone universally scorns the Kardashians. Well, a huge number of those people are also watching them.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should say that. A friend of mine.
Tabloids.
Yeah. This friend of mine's a webmaster for a radio station in town.
Yeah.
And she comes on and she says, I posted one thing about the Kardashians. I got 57 hate texts back. Why are you doing it? We don't care. So she went in and looked to see how much of an impact that little. She says, it was the most looked at, most clicked on, most shared than anything I'd put on all week, but yet everybody hates it.
Yeah.
What did Earnhardt used to say? I don't care what you say about me as long as you're talking about me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
So, you know, things that resonate with people tend to spread.
Yeah.
And then the media eventually comes to it. So you got to come up with something that is different in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
You know, you can just make something different. People are like, that's weird and I have no interest in it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and that's easier said than done. But in racing, it has always been going where no one's gone before.
Right.
So it's faster.
Right.
You know, and it's basically faster and more power. So, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the peak in attendance at the Indy 500 was the same year that the last track record was set.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I totally get you. You know what? You know, motorsports is missing, you know, those, you know, the humpy wheelers of the world. You know, I mean, even when I was a kid, I mean, my dad was hired as the bad guy. So he'd go out there and take you out if he could. You know, I mean, you can't do that today. Are you kidding? I mean, but you know, that's what drew people in. And it's a terrible thing to say. They came for the fights and the crashes. I mean, the only people that didn't want to see the fights and the crashes are the true dyed-in-the-wool gearheads, the ones that have invested all the money in the race car, and they want to see it perform and win. So, yeah.
No, yeah. I would proffer that even they like to see a little bit of the crash.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
So,
just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Hey, Tommy, can you believe...
It's not considered polite to admit that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guarantee you they look and they cheer.
Hey, now, I was noticing, thanks to Judy, it looks like you're running a vintage series. ATCALL, Trans Am Classic?
Actually, actually not news to me.
It says cut line. Tommy Kendall is ahead of Jamie Gallus in the ATCALL Trans Am Classic at Berks Lakeport Airport. Oh.
It must be something relative to like a flashback.
Yeah. June 29th. Kendall, who would win the race.
Because that was what year? That was probably 94 or 5.
96.
96. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
See, but I just thought that's cute that she throws that in there, so I just had to throw that out there.
She made it sound like it was something.
Yesterday.
I'm hoping to get. I have one of my old Trans Am cars. I have the Beretta that I won the championship in 1990.
Do you really?
And so I'm beginning to, you know, take the steps. It didn't need a lot of work.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But man, those things they eat money. So I'm my old crew chief Dan Binks has it, and I'd like to get it out for a race or two here in the near future, vintage stuff. So, I haven't done any of it yet.
Have you been to the Coronado Speed Festival yet?
I went last year. Okay. I did, yes.
See, now that would be a good place. I was purely blessed to be able to drive it 3 years in a row in a vintage 68 BMW 2002. The only problem is they threw me in the Trans Am class with Camaros and Challengers and Mustangs. They kept saying, well, you'll get him in the turns. You'll get him. No. That's got a straightaway you can land an airplane on, for God's sakes. But that's something. I think that'd be a good track. The only thing I would say, I don't know how beefy the car is, but that track is pretty hard on cars.
I was just going to say.
It's really hard.
When you're paying to fix them, and, you know, you're like wear and tear versus.
Yeah. So, yeah. The thrill is not there for that, I'm telling you.
Well, it'd be one thing. If Sebring, which is hard on cars, has so much, you know, nostalgia going for it that you kind of like, I'm going there for the race to watch in early December.
Oh, cool.
And Coronado, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it because it's. I mean, it's a great location, and there's nothing happening in that area.
No,
so
nothing.
It's a good, good. I mean, the weather's in San Diego is as good as it gets.
How bad can it be? Hey, how many of your old race cars do you still have?
I have four of them. I have the four cars. The first five championships I've won, I have those four cars.
How sweet!
And then you know the cars I'm best known for were, you know, again, once you get going, you get more notoriety, was, you know, the Mustangs that route.
Yeah.
I do not have any Mustangs. I've got the RX-7, which is basically the winningest RX-7 in history, the Malibu Grand Prix car. I own that.
Yep.
I won my first two IMSA titles in that. I've got the Firehawk car that I won the Firehawk Championship in, and I've got two Berettas, the 88 GTU Championship Beretta and the 90 Trans Am Championship Beretta.
Well, you're just up the hill in the L.A. area, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
I may just.
Cars are, they're all back in Michigan right now.
Oh, okay.
Where Dan Binks is. But
I gotcha.
He's from San Diego. So yeah,
I know. I know the Binks family.
His arm too much to get him out here. He'll go wherever I
tell him to go.
Like I said, every time he calls me, it's $5,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, he just thinks you're made of money. I mean, come on, you're a race car driver.
Well, I love one of my favorite Bink stories. It's the mindset, both the drivers and the crew guys. Everybody, like when you drive cars, people go, God, you drive this thing like you don't even care what happens. I said, that's because I don't. And so, but when it's mine, and so Binks, I remember when we were running the GTP car, it was one of the very first cars, I think it was the first cars in America that had carbon fiber brake rotors. And, you know, back then, this was 1991, they were $10,000 a corner.
Wow.
And I remember a journalist saying, you know, he was talking to Banks, he said, you know, these brakes are awesome, but they're so expensive. You know, how much are they? He says, they're free. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, I just go into the truck and get them out of the drawer. So,
that's
we don't care what it costs.
No.
Is it faster? Do we need it?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll figure out how to pay for it.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'm going to.
Shoes on the other foot with me now.
Yeah, like, totally.
I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to let you go, but I don't know if you remember, it was the last year that you drove the Viper at the Chrysler deal out at in Detroit.
Yep.
I was the guy that rode with you the last time out.
Oh, wow. Well, that was my last time in a Viper.
Exactly. Because remember, I even asked you when we were going around the track, because I thought that you had gotten signed up with Viper, because that was the original plan, and then you'd said no, that a different direction had gone, and that was your last ride in a Viper. I'll remember that for as long as I do this.
Actually, I want to say, What month was that? Because I'm not sure. I was supposed to drive the next year.
Yeah, you were. That's right. You were supposed
and
to drive.
I decided not to do 14.
Oh, it was okay. Then it must have been 13. It must have been 13. And we were back there, and you got. Like I said, you. I mean, it always kills me what they make you do. I mean, they strapped you in a car and a helmet. I don't know how hot it was, and they just kept saying, "Go, go, 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 go." I mean, it was crazy. And then I decided. Yeah. Then I did the last one with you. And, yeah, you're not good on brakes. Okay. You're not good on brakes. You're killing them.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Hell, yeah. That's what gets it to stop, right?
Well, that's what gets it to stop, and that's what the folks want to see.
Wonderful
time. You got to balance it at those events. That car, fortunately, can take it.
Oh.
You know, a lot of these automotive.
You can't.
So you wear them, but a lot of them, when you're doing ride after ride, even pretty good street cars.
Yeah.
The brakes will eventually, I mean, that much weight on a racetrack, you can eventually overheat them. And so. You know, you can still give a good ride at 90%, and people won't know you're not running 100%.
Hey,
so whereas the Viper, though, it'll take it, so you can go full tilt.
Hey, anybody that rides with you is getting a ride. Come on, let's just face it.
That's
Now, I put you right up with Hurley Haywood. You know, that was another ride. I have you and Hurley were my two, and I don't normally let people drive me around because I used to be a service manager for 30 years, and customers used to scare the crap out of me, so I don't let people drive me anymore, but... You're right up there, brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, have a lot of fun. And this thing is, when is it again? It's the next couple weeks.
22nd of October.
All right. Well, maybe I'll get a hold of Judy and I'll bug you and we'll talk about how it went.
Okay. Sounds good.
Love to talk to you. All right, buddy. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
AM 1170. The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Tommy. He is amazing. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you've never been, you've got to go. It is a bucket list track if there ever was one. ParisAutoSpeedway.com. You need to check them out. Just go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com for directions, information, race schedules, rental of the track. Yes, they do that. They also have driving schools occasionally up there. So just go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com for all your information. All right, we got a special guest on the line from Paris, and that's Jeremy Ellerston. Ellerston? How do you say that?
It's Ellerston, sorry.
No, that's okay. Hey, you know, I have enough trouble with my last name. So I understand you're a big-time supporter of Paris Auto Speedway, and you had a little bit of a situation a couple weeks ago. How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little sore still, just recovering from the injuries and looking forward to getting back in the seat again.
Yeah. Now, I understand you were a football player back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Played all the way up into college, and then from there, changed directions and went race car driver.
So which hurts the most, football or driving?
I'm going to say football until this last wreck. This was probably the worst one.
Yeah. Now tell the folks what were you driving?
I was driving a USAC CRA 410 sprint car.
Ooh.
So it's about a 800 to 900 horsepower motor, a 1500 pound car.
Yeah. Well, I went out in one. I Randy Waitman let me take his out, and I said I'd only do it on two conditions: by myself, and if I broke it, I didn't have to pay for it. So I take my hat off to you, brother. But I understand. Did something fail on the car that caused you to go into the wall and the billboard?
Actually, the left rear wheel center broke out, but it was more of driver error than it was anything else. It was my fault. So
really?
I take full responsibility for the accident.
Yeah, which is rare. I mean, a lot of people don't want to admit it, but I mean, now was it, did you overcorrect? I mean, did you just get into it wrong and knew you were in trouble and did the pressure of going the wrong way with that car just caused that center piece to snap out? Because that's what does it.
We had the car working really hard. It was the first time all night that our new engine and our car were working really good, and we carried 20 miles an hour faster speed into the corner than the car in front of us. The car in front of us like hopped his right rear, and it just upset the chassis, and just the wheel center broke when it came down, and it just went into a really spiral flip.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah, driver error. But hey, yeah. You know, you're okay. That's amazing. I mean, what, you broke a couple of ribs, did a little eye socket damage.
Yep.
Now, how could you do that with, how did you get eye socket damage with a helmet on? Because you got a nice helmet.
The helmet saved my life instead of my seat. The race car folded when it came. It went cage first into the K-rail.
How fast were you going?
I was going about, they think anywhere from 90 to 110.
Yeah, into a K-rail with a tubular frame. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're not going to win that battle.
No. That one is, that one you're going to lose. But you didn't lose totally because, I mean, and I'm sure all the breakage wasn't that you hit anything. It was just stopping and belts and things like that. Just, you know, when your body's going one direction and the object stops, things break.
Yeah. Things are going to break. It was the force of my body up against my seat that collapsed my lung and broke my ribs.
Right.
And the orbital eye socket actually happened from my head actually hitting the K-rail when it invaded the tubular chassis. Yeah. So
you do know that you're not ready to leave yet. I mean, if there was ever a signal or a sign that says you need to be around a long time, I think that was it. Wouldn't you say so?
I agree. I've got two boys with heart transplants. They're my whole world. And
really?
I'm not ready to leave yet. Yeah.
Two boys with heart transplants? You're kidding me, dude. I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. How old are they?
I've got Christopher's 3. He's about to be 4 in December. And then Christian, my oldest. I know it's a tongue twister, Christian and Christopher. But my oldest, Christian, just turned 12 the 22nd, 2 days before the flip.
No kidding. And they both have had heart transplants?
Oh, yeah, they're infant transplants. They were young boys, and that's why I drive the Donate Life 98, and I try to spread organ donation awareness to everybody we meet in racing and try to make sure that the message gets out there that it's important to be an organ donor. I mean, guys like Brian Clausen, they're amazing people, and he saved many lives, and I try to make sure I hand out registration cards to people and just spread the word. I mean, it's a really important, I have a genuine interest in the cause because I've been a benefactor from it for my two boys.
Whoa. Well, let me tell you what, wait till I see Scott. I do television here in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'll make you a promise on air. You get your car back together, get your decals back on it where people can read it because they probably can't read them right now. Load that car up, do a little staycation with the boys, come to San Diego, spend the night, a Saturday night. I'll put you on KUSI-TV, which is the number one watch morning show in San Diego, with you, your car, and your boys. It's only 3 to 4 minutes. I know it's not a long time, but it's the number one watch morning show. And if you want to get the word out, my friend, that's the way to do it. And the price is zero.
I'd love to do it. It'd be great. And I appreciate that opportunity. We can set that up. In fact, I'll be back this weekend actually racing our backup cars ready to go.
All right. So is the doctor released you?
I got released actually the Friday after. The doc told me, he goes, I've never seen anybody recover from your injuries this fast. And I could have actually taken the backup car that Friday, towed it down to Arizona and raced Saturday.
No kidding.
But I decided to stay home and enjoy my kids.
Yeah. How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 36. I'm 36.
Jesus, dude. Yeah, easy on the body. Well, I'm right now booking November, so that'll give you, because I'm sure you said you have a backup car, but I want to put you on a Sunday because that's where I get my biggest exposure. We had a little boy that was terminally ill and they needed some motorcycles to go by his house and they only had 500 and they came to my station on a Sunday and the day of and it bumped to $4,000. So who's on your car? What's who you're supporting? Name of the group?
I do the group with Donate Life, and then I also I do fundraising for Children Organ Transplant Association out of Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay. Well, what I was saying was whoever you want to, you know, you're more than welcome. They can come down if you want. If they're local, they can. They're more than welcome to come and be part of the TV segment.
Okay.
You know, just reach out. You just reach out. I mean, even if they say no, at least you've reached out. And then what we'll do is we'll make sure we get a copy, you know, the segment so you can send it back to these. Because, no, I'm a donor, too. I mean, I know I'm old, but my stuff is still working.
It doesn't matter. Thank you so much, I mean, for being one.
No. I mean, are you kidding? I mean, time I get done with it, I'll be surprised they can use any of it. But my doctor said Friday I'm in excellent shape. So, you know, and you're right. You know, what's the big deal? You know, put a donor card because two little boys, 3 and 12, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the donor program, my man.
Absolutely. I'm blessed to have them still, and they're my everything.
Wow. I mean, that's just a story in itself. All right. So you're 36 years old. I'm sure you have a full-time job because you can never make any money racing. If you want to make
money. No, you can't do that.
No. If you want to make $1 million racing, start with three. It's real, real simple. So you have a normally daytime job. Now, are you just doing this motorsports kind of just because, you know, it's like golf or bowling or, you know.
It's my passion. I love it. I build engines for other race teams, too. So it's a little bit of a mixture. But I grew up around it. I grew up in the Ascot era, in the Ascot days. This is what I love. I mean, I can't see my life away from motorsports. So, and I've got two kids that are wanting to race cars too, and they're blessed with the gift that they have. And I keep trying to talk them out of it.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, go stand in the mirror and try to talk yourself out of it. Cause you know, that old acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree if you get my drift.
No, I'm ready to get in the seat. I've already got my safety equipment replaced and the other car ready to roll out.
Yeah. And you know, folks, that's an interesting thing. You had a perfectly good helmet, Honda, you had all that. That's all got to be replaced after that accident, correct?
Yes, belts, everything. My suit, my arm actually hit the K-rail as well. And so my suit actually got torn apart on my left arm, and DJ Safety took care of all that, and they're getting me back on the track.
Excellent. Now, so, you have arm restraints in that car, don't you?
Yes.
And you still hit the K-rail? Dude, you had to be.
The wall intruded the car. So.
You got. I don't. Not that you'd want to look at it, but did you see it? Is it any on video?
Yeah, I've seen it in multi angles and slow mo, and I studied everything about it so I can understand what the car did and how the injuries were obtained. I was originally an engineering major.
Then you must have loved that movie.
Oh, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
Think of things that we could do to be safer.
Well, did you see anything in that you're going to change on the car? Or maybe this happened. Maybe you've seen something that maybe everybody else needs to know about. Maybe a brace in a certain place, maybe a halo here or there. Did you see anything that, you know, really?
I have a list of things that I've been going over with the manufacturer of the car, and he's going to make some of those changes for us.
Uh-huh.
And there's some processes for manufacturing that he's going to change as well. So I think that there's a lot of things that could be done differently. I think it's just it's one of those wrecks that you don't hit cage first very often.
No.
So for it to hit the K-rail like that, and for me they said I was awake at the track, and I don't remember. I was in La La Land, personally, in my head.
Well, you got your bell rung.
Yeah, we actually auctioned off our helmet from that, too, for our cause. And I was really surprised at how many people reacted to it. I mean, but it fractured the helmet. The whole front of the whole front fractured completely where the contact happened.
What?
It was quite the blow.
And by the way, you got $500 for that helmet, I hear. Congratulations, man.
Yes, we do. Yes, we did, from Carbon Kenny. He's a heck of a guy, and he just loves carbon fiber. And that helmet, luckily, is a carbon fiber helmet, so I'm sure he'll like that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's auction off helmets in the future, but let's not do it that way. Let's find another way, like a winning helmet.
That's the plan.
Yeah. Which brings up a point. It's your passion. Are you going to stay with the 410s? I mean, is that where you found your sweet spot and you're not really interested in moving up, down, left, or right? Just going to stay in that group?
I'm going to stay with it as long as we can. We're actually, our team's growing and getting more help behind it every year.
Sure.
And we're getting better at what we do. We've got a long ways to go, though, to get in victory lane, I think, at Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But We're working on it. But we still do run 360s occasionally, and we're a top five car with the 360s.
Right.
And, but I mean, for me, I don't say no to anything. I'd race a Pinto if I had to.
You and me both, brother. And I'm an old dude too, man. In fact, I have to say no to a lot of things because, well, especially go-karts, and they're trying to they're trying to get me to take a dirt cart. I mean, a go-kart up at Paris on the dirt. And I know, dude, I'll buy one. I'll buy one tomorrow. The minute my butt hits the seat, the checkbook flies out the other side. I'm doing my best to control my finances because I want to do it so bad I can taste it. I'll tell you how bad I am. I want to go to AARP, get them to sponsor me. I'll build a monster truck with Dennis Anderson, go out. Sponsored by, I know I'll break every bone in my body, but come on, would that not be the baddest thing in the world? I'd do that in a heartbeat. I'm serious.
It'd be the way to go, right?
Oh, hello? Hello? All right, so what's the number of your car?
The 98.
All right, folks, keep your eye out for 98. He's going to be back. When are you going to be back, you think?
This Saturday the 15th.
This Saturday the 15th. Okay, I'm coming up. Normally, it's a long drive from Alpine, but I am coming up. Are you going to bring your boys?
They might be coming out for the races. It just depends on
how everything goes. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to make a point. I think I'm definitely going to make a point because I got to come up, shake your hand, and then we'll talk over more about what we're going to do on TV because I'm not kidding you. I'm definitely going to bring you to KUSI, if nothing else, for the cause.
That sounds great. I look forward to it.
All right, buddy. All right. Hey, I'll let you go. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thank you.
All right, buddy. All right, folks. I'm going to take a small break. When we come back, there's a whole lot more right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Dirt Dudes calling in if everything goes well.
AM 1170. The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to KCBQ AM 1170. We are The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Care. Looking for a great dyno run on your car? Well, if you go to Certified Car Care, tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. They will give you a discount. So check them out. CertifiedCarCare.net. CertifiedCarCare.net. Excuse me. All right. Hey, Dirt Dude's on the line. We had to bump him to the last quarter because of the Tommy Kendall interview. How you doing, bud?
Good thing I'm flexible on my schedule, huh?
Oh, listen to you. You're just probably laying there just screaming at the TV set.
No, I didn't want to even put myself through that today. I'm just doing a bunch of work around the house.
Well, guess what? They're doing their same thing, so don't bother.
That's why everyone else's team, they're not my team.
Thank you very much. So, hey, so what's kicking?
just ended our season last night, our points championship and our points season last night at Bonus Speedway. Turned out to be a pretty good night. It was a lot of good racing. Had almost 500 fans show up and about 61 cars.
Wow.
Turned out to be a pretty good night.
Yeah, I bet. Any upsets?
Well, I'm not sure what we're going to have for upsets. In our junior sprints, Michael Finn got his first main event win. And Dane Gilbert was the track champion for our junior sprints for 2016. In our mini dwarfs, the sportsmen's, Deegan Irie got a main event win. He was also track champion for the year. And the masters, Aiden Naughton got his main event win. And Allison Evans, which she's been on your TV show, KUSI.
Right.
She got track championship for masters. Out to the big track. Modifieds are the first ones up, and I got to thank Dalton Everhart coming down from Paris area, him and his mom. They came down and did an extra. He was running second. He actually was leading the race. It was a good battle. Cole just snuck around him last lap out of turn four, just, you know, got his way around him.
Wow.
Cole got the main event win, and Dalton came in second. That was a really good race.
I bet.
And then into our pro and stock ponies, Robert Minnick was track champion for the year, and he got a main event win last night. Eric Brett got a main event win, and he was also track champion for, that was the stock ponies and the pro ponies. Robert Minnick was a pro, and then Eric Brett was a stock. Into the pure stocks, Rick Schneeriger got a main event win last night, first one of the season, and he was also points champion throughout the season. I mean, he only had one main event win, but you know, it shows that consistency there. And pretty good battle. Jason Aldridge was in second, and there's like a 10-point difference, actually less than 10 points. It's like an 8-point difference between first and second in points. And I got to give a shout-out to Ryan Learwell, Rookie of the Year. I mean, that kid's been phenomenal, racing here and several other tracks. And then into the street stocks, Devin Faulkner came in, fourth last night, but he was actually the track champion, and he didn't have any main event wins for the season, but he was so consistent throughout the year. He actually had a pretty dominating run. I mean, it was really close, but last night was actually double points night, too. Chris Crutch-Britz had four main event wins for the season, I think five main event wins for the season. And he had a main event win last night. Jeremy Willie, second, and that was third in points. That was a good battle this year between our street stocks. They had a good year. Dwarf Cars was a crazy thing. They went with the open comp night, so these guys are bringing out wings. They had side panels. One of the guys had like this, you know, like those back east. Like, I'm trying to think of which modified I see or something like that. You know, it's got like a 10-foot board on the side of the car.
Yes.
It's like, you know, 4 feet high and then 8 feet long. He did that out of plexiglass on the side of his car.
Yeah. Well, they used to do it with solid, and they made him make him out of plexiglass.
Yeah. He did that in a dwarf car. A couple of the guys, one guy had a lightning sprint or like, you know, a sprint car, small sprint car win on top of his car. A couple of guys made where the deck lid, they took the deck lid off, so they got the aerodynamics coming back through the cab and then back up, and they put a tail on it. Some guys had some like old style back east modified kind of styles where the scoops were on the side up to the deck lid and a wing on the top. I mean, these guys just coming up with crazy stuff, and it was just, they were fast, super fast.
I was going to say, did anything work?
The funny thing was Bobby Brown Jr., he has a pickup that he runs, and he made this wing on it, and he made it to look like a camper shell. So he had a camper shell on his truck, but it was actually a wing because it was open in the center and it swooped up. I mean, it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. And he said he couldn't get the car to plant. It just wouldn't get the bite out of it. And then, so I guess somehow he figured out how to work it. He got the main event win last night. Darren Brandt had that huge clear plexiglass sail panel on his. David Taft came in third, and he had one of these other designs where it was like a sail panel on one side, kind of scooped up from the back. I mean, it was just these crazy things. And they were saying, you know, dwarf cars are fast. The problem is you just can't get the rear end plant on them like a sprint car.
Right.
But putting a wing on them, they got the downforce on them. You know, you can just run them super fast.
Wow.
So a lot of these guys had, in fact, all of our top four were all modified cars. I mean, they had all had some kind of aerodynamic change to them. Phil Comfort came in fifth, and he's the first car that came in that didn't have any change to the car.
Okay.
He was running a stock body last night.
So is this something you guys are going to do? You going to do this again next season?
We do it every year at the end of the season because it's called open comp.
Right.
I mean, they run a certain rule package. Your car has to, you know,
have
height and everything. I mean, they're putting like extra 4 foot, 5 foot of wing on these cars, and that's not what's in the rules.
Right. Yeah, so, I know, but you know, but it's not. It's a non-points race, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. They finished their point season, so this was a non-points race. So this is pretty much like them to bring out what they can bring for a monstrosity that's got the most downforce and that they can pull with the motor. And they're like, you know, Darren Brandt won last year, and this is the second annual one. Now Bobby Brown won this year. So, you know, we're going to do another one next year after the season ends, after the point season ends. And then who knows what they're going to come up with. And then, you know, these two guys are going to be like, who's going to win next year?
Yeah, that is so.
It's really cool that they do that. And, you know, that's a really great group of dwarf cars that we have up at our track. They pretty much – they do their own teching. They take care of their own group. You know, they provide, like, those guys pay their group when they come in. And at the end of the season, they had, like, tons of raffle prizes they're doing. They do a banquet. You know, they're doing everything for their own group.
Right.
They're pretty self-sustained, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Well, so now the season is over. What's next?
Technically, the season's over, but we still have one race left. On the 22nd of October, so this month, we are doing a featured figure eight race. And
right.
It's going to be an open comp. So pretty much that whole run what you brung. I hear a lot of guys, you know, bringing modifieds or, you know, a super stock or, you know, some kind of street stock, something, you know, crazy. And that's 750 to win. And we're paying that back to the field, probably the top three. I think it's 750, 300, and 200. And then we've also got a new sponsor coming to our track that we're that's going to be kicking in. And they have a gift card that they're going to be giving out that's worth $300 for their product.
Wow. Can you mention
it? It's an online product, so it should be really, really good. But I can't really say anything yet until it's finalized.
Oh, okay. Okay. I suppose double check. And what was the date again?
The sponsor. That's the 22nd. Okay. And we're also going to have a pure stock figure eight, and that's, I think that's 500 to win. I don't have the figure in front of me now because I lost it. It's 500 to win, and then 300 and 200, and then they're kicking in another $250 gift certificate for that. And that's just what we got for like right now. I mean, the more cars that show up, the more we're going to pay back.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I like about Barona. You guys just don't keep it in your pockets. You give it back to the track or give back to the drivers. That's great.
What we're talking about now is we're going to have at least 12 cars for each division.
Wow.
And it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we actually finished up our kids' season last night, and they run in the infield. So we're like, well, we've got plenty of time. They took the grader out there and graded an X right in the middle of it, and we did a little exhibition in a figure eight race. We had like 4 cars that were like, hey, you want to, you know, our pure stocks, a couple of streets are like, hey, we'll go out there and run. No big deal. You know, we want to see what it's going to be like.
Oh, so they got a little edge.
We got a little bit of a road run on it.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
So I know till the next week coming up, we're going to have a bunch of equipment delivered. You know, we're getting, I think a D9 or a 6 delivered, another grader. And the D9's going to have a slope board on it. So we're basically going to cut this track out in the center. And it's going to be 50 feet wide and then from corner to corner. Like, so you're going in turn one, around turn two, and instead of going down the back straightaway, you're crossing over the X and going back in where it would be turn four, backwards through three and four, and then, you know, back through the X and then back to turn one.
Well, isn't that kind of like isn't that kind of like what they did at Cajon Speedway?
Yeah.
Kind of the same.
It's just a figure eight.
Yeah. And it works fine. You know, there's no issues with it, especially on dirt.
Yeah. We're just gonna be pretty wide. Like I said, our track is normally like, it's our straightaways are 50 feet wide, and then our turns are, I think, are 60. So the straightaways are the X is going to be 50 feet wide again. So it's the same width as our straightaways.
Right.
And we're also featuring, you know, whatever, I think Dwarf Car is going to be coming back to that night. We might have modifieds. I don't know. It's whoever shows up, we're going to be running on the big track, on the oval track, plus the figure eight race.
All right. Wow. Sounds like a full page. But I'm definitely going to try to come out for the 20. I wish I could have made it last night because I would have loved to have seen the, you know, that modified race. Yeah. With all the wins.
It was pretty amazing. I mean, Everhart, man, he was just, it took him a while to get going, and I don't think he's been to our track before, and he had to figure out a setup on it.
Right.
Steve Fangmeyer was at our track, too.
Oh, good.
And he's, they're a couple guys from Paris, and they know a few of our guys. So, I mean, he had some help. I saw him already on Facebook saying, you know, he talked to a few people. Wanted to thank a few people. So I follow them. I actually became friends with them on Facebook now.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm bringing Fangmeyer down. I'm going to bring him on KUSI and do some stuff with him in the next week or two, I think. Next Sunday.
So, yeah.
Hey, it's all about supporting the racing. All right, buddy. Hey, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day, and I appreciate you moving to this slot today and today only. I'll talk to you, I'll probably talk to you next week, right?
If you want me to.
Or we can get your assistant. Or we can have your assistant call in.
Well, you might want to talk to her because she is going to Santa Maria next weekend.
I know. She's all high dollar.
She's going to be real excited. I'm going to Turlock. I'm going to go do monster trucks at Turlock.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, take care. We'll talk to you later, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on KCBQ. I almost went blank there for a second.
SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.